Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Kai Wright, in for Brian Lehrer today. Before we get on to our photo contest, I have another announcement. We have the Brian Lehrer Show's Barocket. We are launching in the last few weeks of President Obama's tenure. The Brian Lehrer Show wants to find out from you what you think is the most enduring aspect of the president's legacy. Thus, the Barocket, an Obama legacy tournament. Here's how the Barocket works. It's just like your standard sports bracket. Every day, we'll ask listeners to vote on a matchup. Today is Obamacare facing off against the Paris Climate Agreement. Vote on the Brian Lehrer Twitter page. It is our pinned tweet at the top of the news feed. Or visit our blog on the Brian Lehrer Show page on WNYC.org. We'll be launching a new matchup every single day. So go vote today, Obamacare versus the Paris Climate Agreement. And don't forget to share our Barocket on social media sites. And now it is time for the results of the annual Brian Lehrer Show Best Photo Sitting on Your Cell Phone at the End of the Year contest. Like we've been doing for every year for the past several years, we asked you to go through your phone and pick the best photo you took in 2016 that you haven't deleted, and importantly, that wasn't shot of your kids or your pets, and tweet it or post it to Instagram. As usual, we got hundreds of submissions. So if you submitted a photo, listen up because we're about to announce the winners. Everyone else, you can go to our website, WNYC.org, click on the Brian Lehrer Show, and you'll be able to see all the submissions there, plus the winners who are chosen by my next guests. My guests are Michael Camber, a longtime photojournalist who has worked all over the world for the New York Times and other outlets. He's also the founder of the Bronx Documentary Center, which describes itself as, quote, an educational space dedicated to positive social change through photography and film. And by David, better known as D. Delgado, a photojournalist and member of the Bronx Photo League at the Bronx Documentary Center. D and Mike, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
So before we get to talking about the photo contest and the winners that you have chosen, let's talk a little bit about the Bronx Documentary Center. Mike, do you want to tell us a little bit about what it is and why it started back in 2011?
Yeah, we started following the death of a friend of mine, Tim Hetherington, and basically he had helped train and educate photographers around the world, and I was living in the Bronx at the time and had come back from overseas and wanted to start something in his memory where people could get basically, a free education, or really a world-class education, see great exhibitions, see great documentary films, writing classes, etc. And this is how this came to be.
Yeah. And Dee, how did you get involved?
I'm a self-taught street photographer, and one day I just dropped in, met Mike. He brought me into the circle, and here I am, a working photojournalist now.
There we go. And so the as I understand it, the programming, it's both the exhibitions and the programming, it's, quote, a method of empowering Bronx residents to look beyond the restrictions of poverty and participate in the larger world. So how does that work?
Well, we do a lot of exhibitions by Bronx photographers. We do joint projects like the one that Dee has been working on with us about the Jerome Avenue project, which turned into a book and a traveling exhibition, etc. And we have after-school programs. We've got 28 kids in our after-school programs learning photography, film, and writing. There's a whole wide range of events and activities going on every week.
And Dee, you are in the book. Tell us about the Jerome Avenue project. Why Jerome Avenue specifically? And maybe you can tell us a little bit about the photos since folks can't see them.
Well, pretty much what we started doing was we engaged with the community. And this is a corridor that's pretty ripe for gentrification. And we started documenting the individuals that would be affected by the gentrification. So.
And by what Dee's referring to here, we just make sure listeners are in on it, is that Jerome Avenue corridor of the Bronx is set for rezoning as part of Mayor de Blasio and the city's
plan to rezone 15 neighborhoods. East New York was the first one.
Right.
We made a podcast about it. There goes the neighborhood. Go check it out. And so Jerome Avenue is that corridor is going to be part of that project as well. And so how do people feel about the Plan D, the people photographed in your book in particular? How does that come up? Did it come up in the folks you were shooting?
Well, pretty much we would come in and engage with the people. Some were aware of the changes that were of the changing tide. Some people weren't. And so we were pretty much educating at the same time as while we were documenting the situation.
Okay, well, let's talk about our photo contest and who won. You have each picked four or five of your favorites from our hundreds of submissions, and there was no overlap in your choices. Listeners, so you know, so you can go to our website to see all the photos that we're going to talk about, see Mike and Dee's favorites. There was overlap in the subject matter, and I noticed in one of them, both of you picked a photo of the sticky note wall in Union Square subway station that sprang up after the elections. Both of these photos were actually from Twitter users. Andrea Klausner, who submitted more than one of the best photos sitting on her phone. And so, Dee, what did this photo do for you? Describe what we're talking about here.
Well, the image I picked was with a young lady standing in front of the sticky notes, and it just represented, you know, how a lot of people feel, you know, just looking at the situation and really being somber and not really knowing what the future is.
It is a stark image, right? It's black and white. She's the only person in the shot, and she's just kind of, we're looking at her back and she's staring at this wall of notes.
Yes.
It's also nice that it's a public space. You know, people, it sort of becomes art. It was actually, became a beautiful installation, but it was in a public space, and it was a place where people could come and express their feelings, and that was really important.
And Mike, you chose a photo of the wall as well, but it's the color photo. To tell us about the one you chose.
The one I chose was more abstract, and from a distance, it almost looked like an abstract painting. And then as you sort of zeroed in, you looked at it and began to understand what it was. And I mean, I like them both. I like the one Dee chose and also. But I just like the color. I like the patterns. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought it was really beautiful.
And it's just the notes fill the screen. They just fill
the notes. The notes fill the screen with, yeah, people's emotions and ideas and feelings. And I think there's a lot of power to that. Okay.
And then, Mike, two of your other favorites. One was a photo of FDNY firefighters lined up, sent to us by a Twitter user, Milton Washington.
Great photo, yeah.
And another one by an Instagram user, Doug Block, which is of a bunch of subway riders sitting on the platform, standing on the platform, and they're all kind of engrossed in their phones.
Right.
So what struck you about these two photos? They both can have people lined up.
Right. I just thought they were both a great commentary on New York today. I love the firefighters photo. Beautiful photo, incredible sky, great colors. There's some red in the foreground. It's really a dramatic photo, and you know, pays tribute to some great New Yorkers. The you know, and the subway photo was one where, you know, people are just so, I felt like it was really good social commentary, and also a really well done, great composition. You know, people are so engrossed in their social media and their phones today. You go into restaurants and whole families are staring at phones, or you get on the subway and everybody's in their own world. And I just felt like this photo really captured it.
And they're just spaced out there, right?
Yeah.
You know, each person is not only on their phone, they're standing just far enough apart not to interact. which, you know, given in our last segment, we were talking about how you can get sick on the subway. I guess maybe that's not an entirely crazy thing.
Yeah.
But they're all in their own world, which is kind of a counterpoint to the FDNY one where they're all lined up in formation,
right.
But, you know, they're really quite together.
They're together. Yeah.
It's a team.
They're together, and you can see that solidarity.
So again, listeners, you can see these photos on our website, wnyc.org. Go to the Brian Lehrer Show page. They are all there. Dee, two of your favorites had kind of text or typography in them. One is sent by Instagram user Saul Mercado. and one by Instagram user is, whose username is Mayware. Tell us about these and what did you like about them? Describe each of the photos.
Well, there's one with the understanding sign. It's an installation that's in Brooklyn. A little bit of background. I'm a little bit of a sucker for typing photos. I have a design background.
Right.
So, yeah, and you know, I'm Puerto Rican, and religious artifacts and images. I'm also a sucker for that. So,
well, so describe the second one because you're referring to the religious iconography in this.
So there's an image where it says "Sin will find you out." And it's a neon sign. It's an old neon sign, I'm assuming. Mm-hmm. And it's, I just really like, you know, the lighting in this image and just the type also, like I said.
And it's outside a church, or is it, it's in the shape of a cross?
Yeah. I'm believing it's in the street. That's what it seems like.
It looks like it's just in the street. We don't have Saul here to tell us. Saul Mercado took this, where it came from. But it's, you know, it's a dark image.
Yeah.
It's taken at night. You can, what stands out is this neon cross, which seems to be a couple of stories tall. That says, sin will find you out.
Amazing photo.
Which juxtaposes with this understanding photo. You know, I mean, I understand you're talking about type, but they also kind of have different messages there. Where is that understanding? Where is that at? That's an installation. Where is it?
I believe that's in Brooklyn.
Do we know where in Brooklyn? I'm not familiar
with it.
Not
really sure.
It's said it's on the waterfront, it looks like there. You can see the Manhattan skyline behind it. So I assume that's Brooklyn Bridge Park.
Yeah.
So that it's a good photo. Again, you can check these out yourselves, listeners, at WNYC.org on our webpage and go to the Brian Lehrer show page. Mike, you also picked a photo by Instagram user Sophia Manousos. I'm sorry, Sophia, if I am mispronouncing your name, of a sunset scene over the city. What distinguishes this from, you know, what I imagine are dozens and dozens of sunset photos taken of New York City? It's one of our favorite things. It's one of the things I love to take a picture of.
Millions, yeah. I see them. I see them all the time. I think the scale of it, the way it was shot, the colors were incredibly beautiful. There was also there was something kind of non-traditional about it, you know, the way there's a lot of sky. The buildings are really small. It has a lot of atmosphere to it, kind of a dreaminess. It didn't look like a postcard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've all seen the postcard image of the sunset over the city. But this really took me somewhere else. It had these beautiful muted sort of pink and orange hues to it.
And I'm wondering where it's shot from, what that vantage is. I'm not quite getting it because it almost looks like, rather than the sort of iconic New York sunset photo that we see, it almost looks like the L.A. sunset photo you see all the time.
I'm not even sure it's New York. Do we know that it is?
Oh, you know what? That's a very good point. So there we go. Maybe it is not, in fact, New York City.
The buildings look a little too uniform and not that tall, so I'm wondering if it's Chicago or someplace else.
All right, so well, maybe you can advise us all. This contest is about those of us who are taking photos on our phone and putting them on Twitter or Instagram. One of the things we love to do is take a sunset photo. They're actually hard to pull off correctly. How do you do it? What is the way to actually take a good sunset photo? Am I putting you on the spot?
Do you want to handle that, or do you have any? I think a lot of it is, it's all about where you're going to stand. Sometimes you can move a few feet this way or that way. It's good to have something in the foreground that gives you some perspective, so you've got sort of a foreground background thing going on. I mean, a pretty sky is always a pretty sky, but
right.
it's what else you're going to use to set that off or to frame that to give a perspective, or can you get down low and have, you know, somebody walking through the frame silhouetted against the sky, or can you find a building that will be silhouetted against the sky?
Yeah. So, Dee, the other one you picked, it's a photo of the World's Fair's Unisphere in Queens. That giant globe by Instagram user Mel Isabel. That's the Instagram user's username, Mel Isabel. And listeners, if you're not looking at it on the web now, it looks like the most perfect light. The fountains are going. It's just like it's so crisp and almost unreal. Dee, tell us what you feel about this photo. It's gorgeous to me.
You pretty much rounded it up. It's just a really nice photo. I love the lighting. It it was a little bit HDR going on there. And, you know, it was just a really beautiful image. You have some lighting in the bottom end, so it looks like the sun is coming through. I'm not sure if that is the sun. And the skies were just really, really dramatic. And I really, I just really love this image.
Yeah. Incredible sky.
Yeah.
You know, a lot about this competition is inspiring and celebrating all of us who are amateur photographers, I guess. You know, what kinds of things are going on at the Bronx Community Center or the Bronx Docs Community Center? What's going on there in terms of engaging the community there and similar stuff?
Right now, we've got a big show coming up January 14th at 6 p.m. It'll be up for 7 weeks. And it's actually a show on political and social activism in New York City. 38 photographers. It's all photos that were taken in the 1980s and 1990s. So a time of great, great political activism that we need to remember. And I think community members, a lot of our community members are engaged in current political action, especially the younger people. And I think it's really important to look back at what has happened previously and sort of, you know, draw lessons from that and see what's changed and what hasn't changed. So the show covers, the environmental movement, no nukes, the wars in Central and South America, police brutality, any number of other issues that are still relevant today. So
what do you think is inspiring those younger members who you said there's a lot of folks who are engaging in politics and then bringing that into this sort of art space? What's driving that?
I think, you know, there's a real groundswell of young people today that are just very, very politicized and very active and really want to go out and change the world. But I think people, especially in the Bronx, there's not enough spaces where people can come together, have discussions, look at work, sort of network and coordinate and plan things. So I think that's been part of our success is having that space where people could come and do that.
Yeah. Dee, what advice do you have for those people and for us, you know, the sort of people who are starting to become photographers? You said Mike kind of pulled you into this and now here you are. What's that process like? What advice do you have for us?
Just have an open mind, constantly shoot, and just look at a lot of images. You got to train your eye, and consider it like training for a boxing match.
Like a boxing match. That's
you got to do it. You got to do it every day. You know, you got to look at images every day and just play around. You know,
books. You look at books all the time.
Yeah,
you love books.
Definitely.
So we, in the course of this conversation, one of our winners was listening, and she is called in. Isabel, do we have you?
Yes, I'm here.
Well, first off, congratulations.
Thank you.
Do you want to quickly tell us about your photo?
Yeah, it was the one with the Unisphere, and it was actually this beautiful night. It was right after the U.S. Open. We decided to take a walk, and there was also a rainbow in the park. It was just incredible. So thank you for all of your kind words, and also just a big shout-out to the Bronx Documentary Center. My office is right around the corner, and we partner with you guys on a lot of events. I work at Bronx Legal Services.
Well, right. I hope we don't have a ringer here.
No, this one was chosen by Dee, I think.
Yes, it was.
That's true. Well, thank you very much, Isabel. We're going to leave it there. Thanks to both of you. My guests and judges have been Michael Camber, a longtime photojournalist who has worked all over the world for the New York Times and other outlets. He's also the founder of the Bronx Documentary Center, which describes itself as an educational space dedicated to positive social change through photography and film, and Dee Delgado, a photojournalist and member of the Bronx Photo League at the Bronx Documentary Center. Mike, Dee, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And that is it for today. I'm Kai Wright. I've been sitting in for Brian. Tomorrow, the brilliant Sarah Gonzalez will step in. Thanks for joining me.